We'll stand right now and honor our Lord as we read 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And this is the story of Solomon, the wisest man. The Bible makes it very clear, other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And he died an old fool. Folks, very important you understand, this could happen to you. All you have to do is follow the example of Solomon, and I'll guarantee you it will happen to you. Boys and girls, you go downstairs if you'd like to. They're going to have children's church. They'll do some drawing and do some different stuff, crafts. Be a lot of fun. So our message today is, will you compromise? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. They were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth, and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord as God, his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you've not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I'll tear it out of your hands of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Father, as we study Solomon's life, Lord, please put it into our hearts to follow the wisdom of obedience to your will. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The wise man learns by watching other men. There are ways to learn from others. Every person you know is a textbook about how to succeed in life or a textbook about how to fail in life. The wise person learns from both. If you want to live a successful life, God has laid out very clearly in his word how to do it. If you want to see examples of that, look for godly men and women that love the Lord, that love the word of the Lord, and watch their life, watch their family life. See how it goes and how it turns out. If you want to be a failure in life, just start following the example of those that have failed to walk with God, that are going to do what they're going to do no matter who tells them what. You can learn from both. One of the valuable lessons you'll learn about life is compromise. There are times in life when compromise is an enviable quality. You cannot have a relationship with anybody on this earth unless you're willing to compromise a little bit. In other words, it's Friday night. I and the wife are deciding where we're going to go to eat tonight. I say, boy, McDonald's sounds pretty good. And she says, any place except McDonald's. Now, we can resolve that pretty easily. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's simply a choice. I'm not disobeying God by going to Burger King instead of McDonald's, or going to Wendy's instead of McDonald's, or even going out to Red Lobster if we're feeling rich that week, you know. So it's a compromise, but it doesn't compromise what's right and wrong in life. If you want to compromise, here's the danger in compromise. You can compromise to the point where you give away what you believe to be real, what you believe to be truth. You know, the sad thing today, young people especially in our public schools, and I know I hit this a lot because it's so important to me, they're being taught that there is no truth. There's nothing, they call science truth, but the Bible warns about science falsely so-called. And we have a lot of science falsely so-called today. The Bible says, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. And so we say, who am I going to believe? We have to come to the point of making a decision there. And once you've made that decision, you don't want to compromise the truth to get along with people. I compromise a lot. I compromise in the church because we have different ideas of how to succeed as a church. So as long as I'm not breaking any of the commands of God, I can say, well, we could paint this pink if you really want to, but I don't like it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I don't think our sanctuary ought to be pink. It doesn't matter. But if you say, I think we ought to teach you get to heaven by baptism, now we've got a problem. Because God's word says what? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saves us. And so we've got problems in areas we can compromise and areas we dare not compromise. Compromise that's contradictory to the word of God will bring the judgment of God. I don't know how many of you know this, but I and Dave try to go every Saturday. The last two we couldn't make it. We did this one. But almost every week we go to a home as we're calling up and down the roads around here of a family that attends church in Montrose at the former United Methodist Church. That church broke with the United Methodist because the global United Methodist Church is woke. Whether you know it or not, they're woke. They're very woke. They go right along with the world. And they said, we want to stick with the Bible. And they paid a price. They had to pay to buy the building. But they're standing firm for God. Every time we see that, we praise the Lord for it. There is a good United Methodist Church right in Burt. You can hear the word of God there. And we praise God for it. We don't believe just Baptists are right. We believe there's a lot. Now, we would have a little difference on doctrine, okay? They would teach a few things that we'd say, well, that's a questionable. But they will teach this. Heaven is only through the faith of Jesus Christ shed blood. And I praise God for that. That's the foundation. Our Lord wants us to know we have lessons to learn. There are things that when we compromise the word of God, things that we know that God has clearly said, this is wrong, don't do it, or this is the right way, do it, and we compromise to get along, we're heading for dangerous areas, and we're going to hit shipwreck. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, these things happened to them. We're talking about the things that happened in the Old Testament. These things happened to them as examples. Good examples and bad examples are both found in the Old Testament. These things happened in them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. In other words, nobody's going to try to get you to compromise to the point where you can't say no. No, I will not shack up with you. I love you dearly. I want to marry you. But no, until we're married, I'm not living with you. We're not going to sleep together. This world, even Christians today, let's just do it. What could possibly go wrong? Well, let me tell you just a couple things that could go wrong. If you're a girl, you could get pregnant. And then what's the next decision a young girl will make when a young boy, they're 15, 16 years old? What do we do? Well, let's get an abortion. You've just taken two steps, absolutely 100% contrary to the Word of God, and it's not going to go well. Once you start compromising, I hope you understand this from watching others. Once you start compromising, each compromise is easier and easier and easier to make. And each compromise takes you further and further and further from God. It doesn't matter if it's gambling. I know gambling's legalized all across our country. But the Lord says, don't get into that. He says, what you get, you earn by what? And I know it's a terrible four-letter word, W-O-R-K. I know that's awful. But folks, it's God's plan. You can try to circumvent if you want to, but you just start out a little bit in these things. I'm just going to gamble a little bit. I know my limits. Let me tell you, I had a nurse that I worked with at Southern Care, the old hospice I was at, and her mother had lost four large houses gambling. Do you suppose she set out to lose four large houses? I'll guarantee she did not, but it'll take you a little here and a little there. I know I shouldn't, but look out. Danger's coming. One example of compromise that ended in tragedy is the story of King Solomon. King Solomon, the Bible very clearly says, is the wisest man that ever lived. Of course, not comparing to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is both God and man, so you can't get that smart. But Solomon saw God face to face twice. Imagine seeing God face to face twice and then building a temple to a false god. Sin will make you stupid. That's something you really ought to think about. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wound up worshiping at idol temple. How could it possibly happen? Here's the example. In 1 Kings 10:23, it says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put into his heart. He sounds like a man that I would love to be around. I would love to be around a man that has wisdom, that saw God twice face to face, that built the temple, that's the richest king of all the kings on the earth. He can tell you stories. He wrote, I think it was 20,000 different hymns. This guy had it all, but he risked it all for something that he never had to do. Folks, we need to be careful with these things, because the consummate, most intelligent man that ever lived wound up being the greatest fool the world has ever seen. How much did he lose? He lost it all. We sang the song with Dave this morning. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Keep me right with him. Because no matter how much I have on this earth, how much of it am I going to leave? I'm leaving it all. I'm not taking one thing with me when I go. The Bible says I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave it even worse than naked. I'm going to leave it with a body that's going to decay. Folks, this is extremely important. We cannot disobey the clear commands of God given to our time. We're not Israel. I tell you that. We're not Israel. We're not under the law that Israel was under. But we still are under the commands of God. We don't keep Sabbath day like they did. We don't offer lambs and sacrifices like they did. But there are many commands given in the New Testament saying this is right, walk in it. This is wrong, stay away from it. And it's all through the New Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, by you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and you will quickly be destroyed. Solomon knew the rule. That was written about 500 years before Solomon was ever born. Solomon was under the law. He was an Old Testament saint. He did believe in God, but he refused to obey God. Just a little thing. Come on. She's cute. In fact, she's quite charming. She's very nice. Why not marry her? Do we have any command like that at all in the New Testament? Anybody think of a command? Do not be married to the ungodly. Is that a pretty clear command? In other words, you're a young gal and you're dating this boy and he's not saved. You've talked to him about salvation, but he doesn't believe. But he's proposing to you. I would love to marry you. What should a young girl do? That's a choice, isn't it? I hope some of you know some people that chose the wrong way, because you can learn a lot from them. You can see how it went. And I hope you know a few people that chose the way God said to, and seen how that went. Why does God want us to marry a Christian? In other words, you're a young person, and you're looking. You know, when I hit about 16 or 18, the girls that used to be, ew, girls, about 14, they started looking pretty good to me. And about 16, I thought, whoa, these girls are really looking good. Why shouldn't a Christian marry a non-Christian? Why did God institute marriage in the first place? The Bible tells us very clearly. God instituted marriage because God's looking for godly offspring. He wants the husband and the wife both to love him and to teach their children to love him. If you marry an unsaved person, whether that's a guy or a girl, who's your father-in-law going to be? It's going to be Satan. He's their God. And I know they wouldn't say he's their God, but he is. You need to be careful here. Solomon made no pretense of even trying to obey God in this area. It's just a small thing. Looking at TV that you know, this is tempting me to sin in my heart and my mind. But it's such a small thing. It won't affect me. Getting on the computer, looking at a pornographic site, this won't affect me. Folks, it's going to destroy you. You just keep going and watch how your life goes. You'll get further and further and further from your God. Instead of having a reverential awe for God, you're going to chase the idols of this world. Solomon's thought life is where this started. This didn't start all at once. This started with Solomon doubting the word of God. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, he just sort of put a thought into Eve's mind. Did God really say? When Eve didn't answer quite correctly, Satan went the next step, and then the next. And then Eve took a step, and she talked into Adam to take the same step. Folks, this is dangerous stuff, because our thought life turns into disobedience in a hurry. Once you start looking at somebody that God says you shouldn't be looking at, once you start to make business arrangements and marriage arrangements with people that warns us in his word, don't make a partnership with people that don't know the Lord. You're heading for some real trouble. Disobedience was the first clue. Solomon decided, even though I know what God says, if you study the book of Leviticus, you'll see that every new king was to write down the entire law of Moses, five books of the Bible. He was to handwrite them. And the Bible said every day he was to read from that so that he wouldn't disobey his God. We don't know one single king that kept that. But that was the command. And because they didn't do that, because they ignored the word of God, Solomon began to wander in his thought. You see, if you keep going into the word of God and you keep studying, It keeps refreshing. It's like food to your soul every day. I got to tell you, in all honesty, everybody ought to read through the Bible every year. We talked in Sunday school this morning. It takes between 15 and 20 minutes a day to read through the Bible for an average reader. That's all it takes. We've got 2 hours for television, or three or four, but we got no time for the Bible. The Bible will keep you strong in Christ. Ignoring the Bible is going to make the world stronger in your life. You've got a lot to learn, and so do I. I'm still doing it. So, admiration. Solomon began to admirate, or really pay attention to Sodomites, to Hittites, all the different nations, and he began to fall in love with their gals because they were beautiful. There are beautiful girls in every nation of this world. There's no nation today that you can't marry somebody from. But at that time, there were nations that they could not. But there is a law given among Christians that you are to marry only a Christian gal or a Christian guy. You can ignore it if you want, but hang on tight. From admiration, I went to association. He began to make leagues with other nations by marrying the king's daughters, and he had 700 of them. You shall not multiply wives was one of the commands given to the kings in the book of Leviticus. Do you think 700 is multiplication? And then 300 concubines besides. These are just gals that he just, you know, whenever he wanted, he would just go get one of them and do what he wanted. But involvement moved from involvement with these gals to possession. And the problem is, Solomon thought he was possessing them. But he came to realize what you think you possess actually possesses you. These gals began to work in his mind and to get him to disobey his God. He was swayed into risking everything that he had. Imagine being the richest man, and he probably still is the richest man that ever lived. He brought in gold by the shiploads, tons and tons of gold every single year. Silver, the Bible says, was thought of as nothing. He had all the kingdom, all the power, and he risked it all for what? To have 700 wives and 300 concubines. Admiration seems harmless enough. Solomon wasn't plagued with the problems of some men. Some men have a real difficult time attracting the opposite sex to get a bride. Solomon never had that. He had charm, he had wisdom, he was a handsome feller, and he could have had any woman he wanted, but he wanted the ones that God said no to. The problem was that Solomon knew God's word, but chose to disobey. In 1 Kings 11, verse 1, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. God's warning should have been sufficient to keep Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, from chasing down that road. But he didn't. He didn't believe God. He didn't believe God's word. God said, "They're going to take your heart away." Solomon said, "I'm the wisest man that ever lived. I saw God face to face. Nobody's ever going to take my heart away." Remember the verse we read there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12? It says, "When a man or woman thinks they stand, let him take heed lest they fall." If there's something in your life today that you're doing that you know God said you ought not to be doing, don't think for a minute it's not going to take your heart away. You are going to become stupid. It starts slow, but it doesn't stay slow. Once the devil's got you, the Bible talks about not allowing the devil a foothold in your life. A foothold is when you're climbing a cliff and you're looking for that little notch that you can get your toe into to get to the next step up. When we begin to disobey God in those little things that we think are not important at all, we're giving the devil a foothold, and he will take control. God has established what relationships Christians should have, and what relationships Christians shouldn't have. And folks, there is a right and there is a wrong. And we as Christians need to know what it is, and then we need to obey it even when we don't feel like it. We need to cleanse our hearts and our minds because this world wants you to fall. Association came because of admiration. Are the gals from those nations pretty that the Lord said don't marry them? They were extremely pretty, just like all the girls in Israel were extremely pretty. But when God says no, there's a reason. In 1 Kings 11:2, they were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, and this isn't just the kings, this is the whole nation. Do not marry, intermarry with them, because they will, what? Surely turn your hearts after their gods. Solomon said, no, not me. I'm the one. Come on. I saw God face to face. I built the temple. I prayed that the Lord would give me wisdom so I could rule this nation. Come on, I'm never going to fall. If God says you're going to fall, guess what? You're going to fall. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Admiration went to association, and association went into involvement. He involved himself with other kings. He gave his daughters to their sons, and he took their daughters for his sons, and he married them himself. And folks, once you start that, it's an avalanche. Involvement goes to association in 1 Kings 11:4. And Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. His heart was not fully devoted. Is there a difference between half-heartedly chasing after God and chasing after God with all your heart? The Bible says you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Folks, don't be half-hearted here. Make a firm decision that you're going to follow God. Possession was the final step in the process. Those wives, those 700 foreign wives, will never affect me. Even though God said it surely is going to happen, I say, no, it won't happen. Who do you suppose is right? The wisest man that ever lived or God? God was right. I am not the wisest man that ever lived, but I do know this. God is always right. And there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Death of relationships, death of purpose, death of everything that's involved. Solomon found it. In Proverbs 29:1, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Some of you have known some people hooked into gambling, drugs, alcohol, smoking, and they've been warned over and over and over, but they're bound determined they're going to keep going. Folks, it's not going to end well. We have to be those that come to our senses. In 1 Kings 11:5, he followed Ashtoreth, this is Solomon, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all of his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. Solomon, the man who built the temple, built a lot of temples in his old age, but they weren't temples to God. He worshiped with his wives foreign gods, wrongdoing to the point of worshiping others. When he was possessed by his wives, because eventually, just like God said, his wives convinced him that he ought to worship all these gods. Don't be so narrow-minded. There's not one God. There's not one way. Come on, we're living 2024. Get with the program. That's the problem we talked about with the United Methodist Church up in town. Get with the program. Wake up. Get woke. The Bible's not the only source of truth. We got lots of sources of the truth. Folks, we don't. We've got one source of truth. The Bible and Jesus Christ are our only sources of truth. Like most tragedies, Solomon's tragedy began with something that seems so innocent. I'm just going to take this foreign gal. She's cute. Come on. What could go wrong? God said, they will surely take your heart away. No, they won't take my heart away. You see, I'm the smartest guy that ever lived. I'm the strongest guy that ever lived. Solomon. What happened to him? He chased after foreign women. And he wound up with his eyes poked out. Folks, it never goes good when we compromise. When our honesty, our purity, and our obedience to the Word of God were asked to compromise, it's never going to go well. And so the question is for you and I, are we going to compromise? Have we even come to the point yet of deciding that we believe the Bible is God's Word? Because many people who go to church week after week have never come to that decision. I believe it's a wonderful source of truth. It's inspiring. But the question is it inspired? Did God really lead men to write down exactly what His will is? Or is it just a nice book? Folks, until you hit that point, you are never going to walk with God. It won't work. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. And the natural man without the Holy Spirit in him can't discern that. There are so many people that are so smart, just like Solomon, but they've never discerned what the truth is. We need to come to that. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Folks, Satan is a liar. He'll tell you, you can do whatever you want. You're an adult now. Come on, you're 18. You know a lot. Just do what you want to do. We had a young man in St. Charles. This is years ago. This isn't anything recent. But he had 12 different children from 12 different girls in high school, and he was the hero of all the guys because he was shacking up and doing things with everybody. What about those children that were born? What did that do to them? They didn't have a dad in the house. Dad's busy with another girl now, or two or three girls. Folks, when we live that way, we cut the foundation out from underneath our legs. And we cannot serve God. In Psalm 84:11, Satan's lie is that God's always holding out on you. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He'll withhold a lot of bad things, but he won't withhold one good thing from you if you'll walk with him. That's the promise of God. Satan says, right now's the time to shack up. Don't wait till you're married. Folks, God says it's going to lead to destruction. You and the girl you so caught up with and the children that are going to be born, it's not going to go well. You've got to make a choice. So we want to learn a few things. First, compromise when it's from right and wrong. The best you understand what God says is right and wrong. When you begin to compromise that, you are heading for shipwreck. Take it to the bank. It's not going to go well. We can compromise our sexual standards. God says, when a man looks at a woman to lust after beauty, He's committed adultery in his heart. Men say, oh, God doesn't care about that. God cares about that. He says to keep your heart pure, because God will only walk with a man or woman who has a pure heart. We've got to be careful. Compromise corrupts good morals. Our God does not wink at compromise, especially if it continues. He's going to step in sooner or later, and it may be too late. Our key verse for today is found in 1 Kings 11:11. This is the result of what happened to Solomon, and it affected every generation after him and his children. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you've not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. How would you like to be the king's son? You're going to be the next king in line. Everything old Solomon's got, it's all going to be mine. But because of Solomon's choices, it's not going to be mine anymore. I'm going to wind up with one tribe out of the 12 tribes. That's all I'm getting. Because Solomon's son was a fool. Simple and clear. Why? Because he watched his dad in his older years, and he saw a fool in action. And he said, if dad can get away with it, I can get away with it. Folks, when Solomon fell, the whole kingdom fell. It lasts for generations. Do you know the Bible says the sins of the fathers pass to the third and fourth generation? What does that mean? That means it's not just you going to be judged for your foolishness. Your children are going to pay the price for what you are doing. We look at our nation today. Anybody know how many trillion dollars in debt we are? We are $34 trillion in debt. Who's going to pay for that? I'm not going to pay for that. I was part of getting that debt. I'm going to be long gone, man. It's going to be my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. This nation cannot stay powerful if we keep thinking we as a people can spend whatever we want and it's going to be just fine. The Bible says what? The borrower is slave to the lender. Our nation is borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Who are we borrowing from? India and China? Who's going to rule this nation in a few years? We laugh because we say it'll never happen here. When I was a machine repairman in the late 1970s, I was a machine repairman, and they brought the first machine made in China into our plant, and people went crazy. We don't want any Chinese machines. Do you know who owns Saginaw Steering Gear today? China. Folks, it's happening all over our nation. Farmland by the millions of acres are being bought by China. It'll never happen here. If you disobey God, sooner or later, doesn't matter if it's a nation or a person, sooner or later, you're going to pay the dues. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, whoever conceals their sin, in other words, you're into sin with a gal or a guy, and you know what you're doing is not right, but you're just going to keep going. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. It may look prosperous. That young guy that I talked about that had 12 kids by 12 different gals in our school, man, he was the king. He was the best. But he didn't prosper. And his offspring surely did not prosper. There was no daddy in those houses. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. But whoever hardens their hearts will fall into trouble. Solomon hardened his heart. He knew exactly what God said. But it didn't matter. He was going to do what he wanted to do. He's a wise man. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's going to do it his way. Folks, you can do it if you want. Or you can look at another person and you can learn the lesson. It cost him. And it cost his offspring. All the rest of Solomon's offspring never ruled over Israel. They ruled over Judah, but one tribe. And then eventually Judah got so bad that they lost the kingdom altogether. Jesus Christ came along. He is an offspring of Solomon. He offered the king he would be their king, and they denied him. And so Israel still has no king. Now, they're going to have a king, but he's going to set it up by force this time. He's not coming back to give a choice. But I want to tell you, for almost 2,000 years, Israel hasn't had a king. Why? Because of Solomon's choices. Because the choices of the people. We think it'll never happen here. It's happening right before our very eyes. We've got to wake up. We've got to turn. In 2 Kings 17, verse 13, the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all of his prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey, and that I will deliver you through my servants, the prophets. But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors who did not trust in the Lord their God. You see, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to have to decide, who are we going to trust? Some of you remember Joshua's words that he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can serve whoever you want to. But folks, you're going to have to come to that choice. If you're not going to decide for the Lord, you're going to follow the ways of the world, and the end result is not going to be pretty. It's going to be disaster. Not just for you, but for your offspring, for your family, because you could be used of God to make the difference. You could be the one that stands firm in your family and says, as for me, I'm going to choose to walk with the Lord. I'm going to choose to obey God, and I am not going to compromise here. I'll compromise on where we go to the restaurant. I'll compromise on whether we're going to go to this movie or that movie or whatever we're going to do, but I'm not going to compromise on God's commands. God has laid out very clearly in his word what he expects his church to do and what he expects these people in the church not to do. You get to make the choice. Nobody's going to force you to do it. In James chapter 5, verse 16, I want to give you three things.